Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. The female genitalia. We shall reveal some useful information about this mysterious and often misunderstood subject for both men and women. The internal female genitalia. Yet more useful and even more specific information shall be disclosed here. Strengthen your sexual muscles. The ancient masters of lovemaking from India and China viewed the human body-mind mechanism as a bucket full of energy with holes in the bottom where the life energy leaked out. These holes are the urethral opening and anal opening, and in the woman the vaginal opening also. It was believed that when the sexual muscles were strengthened through special exercises, they sealed the bottom of the bucket and no more energy leaked out. The Eastern sexual exercises that we are about to present were developed in cultures that placed less emphasis on the genital orgasm. The development of sexual muscles represents a way to achieve, intensify, prolong and control the pleasure in both sexes and also contributes to your growth as a human being. The pleasure zones. The human geography includes a series of pleasure zones unknown to many. These zones hide treasures of feeling and erotic experience which can be discovered by touching, kissing, nuzzling, licking, and nibbling them. Most people, both men and women, are not aware of the importance of the erogenous zones and they are familiar only with the basics in this field. A woman's lips, breasts, and clitoris, and a man's hips and penis. However, an experienced and caring lover takes the time to discover and explore the most secret and mysterious pleasure points on his or her lover's body. Therefore, it is important that you consider your lover's body from a holistic point of view. Think of it as a complete organism, with its component parts equally worthy of attention and care. And finally, towards the end of our broadcast, please join us for a meditation on the state of beatitude.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris.
The female genitalia. The external genitalia, consequently the visible part of the sexual organs, bears the name vulva. The pubis, or mons pubis, represents the frontal outline of the vulva, and it forms a small, curved, triangle-shaped cushion. It is usually made up of fatty tissue and covered by hair. At its inferior end, the vulva is delineated by the perineal muscles, which separate it from the anus and sustain the organs in the lower part of the abdomen. The vulva is made up of the large lips, or labia major, which cover and protect its other more fragile components. The small lips, or labia minor, placed below the labia major, unite towards the front in order to form a sort of cap meant to protect the clitoris. The inner part of the labia, both the major and minor, is the vestibule in the interior of the vulva. The vagina and the urinary orifice, also named the urinary meatus, open up toward the back of the central concavity. The urinary orifice is placed between the clitoris and vagina, and therefore it is sometimes difficult to notice. In virgins, the vaginal orifice is covered by a membranous fold of skin known as the hymen. After sexual intercourse, only fragments of the hymen remain along the margins of the opening. Labia major, the large lips. The labia major are two thick folds of skin running from the mons pubis to the anus. The outer sides of the labia are covered with pigmented skin, sebaceous, oil-secreting glands, and after puberty, coarse hair. The inner sides are smooth and hairless, with some sweat glands. Beneath the skin layer, there is mostly fatty tissue with some ligaments, smooth muscle fibers, nerves, blood and lymphatic vessels. The labia major correspond to the scrotum in the male. The sweat glands give off a smell that stimulates sexual appetite. Inside the large lips, there are two glands named Bartholin's glands. The substances produced here lubricate the entrance of the vagina during intercourse. The labia major have the following functions: to protect the vulva from external aggression, and to maintain the necessary humidity. Labia minor, the small lips. They are placed underneath the labia major and are two thin folds of smooth, hairless skin. Their aspect is different from one woman to another in terms of texture and color. This may vary from light pink to brown. They may be smooth or indented, covered or not by the labia major. Inside the small lips, on each side of the vestibule, there are the vestibular bulbs, two cavernous bodies that become swollen with blood during arousal. This process generates another, the swelling of the small lips, which may double or even triple their thickness. Generally, women who have their labia minor developed are extremely sensuous. The minor labia have the following functions: to ensure a further protection of the inner genitalia, to increase the sensitivity to touch in cases of sexual excitement, due to sanguine vessels and sensitive nervous endings. The clitoris. Sometimes it is difficult to discover the clitoris, as it is almost entirely covered by the fold of the labia minor, which leave out only its tip, or the gland, resembling a small button. The clitoris is capable of some enlargement caused by increased blood pressure during sexual excitement, and it is considered homologous, comparable in structure, to the male penis, only on a much smaller scale. Unlike the penis, the clitoris does not contain the urethra for excretion of urine. It does have a rounded elevation of tissue at the tip, known as the glans clitoris. The labia minor are known as the prepuce, or foreskin, of the clitoris. Like the glans penis, the glans clitoridis contains nerve endings and is highly sensitive to tactile stimulation. It functions as an important organ of woman's pleasure. The internal female genitalia. The internal female genitalia make up the female reproductive system. It is composed of the following: vagina, uterus, fallopian tubes, and ovaries. The vagina is a channel linking the outer part of the female genitalia with the cervix, which is in fact a passage to the uterus. This latter communicates with the two ovaries through the fallopian tubes. At intervals of about 1 month, one of the two ovaries releases an ovule, which is immediately caught by the pavilion of the corresponding fallopian tube. Fertilized or not, the ovule moves inside the tube and travels down to the uterus. The uterus is the place of gestation. The vagina. The vagina is a highly elastic channel, whose length varies between 8 and 12 centimeters, with a width of approximately 2.5 centimeters. It has the capacity of growing in length up to several centimeters, and in width, doubling its size, during sexual arousal. During labor, The entrance of the vagina is considerably wide, usually reaching a 10-centimeter dilation. The vagina is partly covered by the hymen in the case of virgins. When the woman is standing, the vagina does not have a vertical position. It is inclined in its upper part. Its exact location is between the urinary bladder and the rectum. The vaginal wall has folds and does not contain any glands. The internal vaginal lining is highly sensitive to ovarian hormones, and its superficial cells are loose. The study of these cells allows the detection of vaginal or cervical cancer. The structure of the internal mucous lining varies according to age and time of the month. An adult woman usually presents a vaginal juice that is white and unctuous, made of a liquid part, of intact and altered cells, as well as different bacteria, which together compose the vaginal flora. These elements help in preserving the acidity needed inside the vagina for preventing the appearance of different pathogenic germs. The main cause of this beneficial acidity is the lactic acid. The role of the vagina. During intercourse, the vagina is the receiver of the penis, and consequently, the receiver of the seed. During birth, it dilates 5 to 6 times in order to allow the baby to come out. The uterus. The uterus is a compact muscle shaped as an upside-down pear. Its size is 6 to 8 centimeters in height and 3 to 4 centimeters in width. But during pregnancy, the uterus undergoes great changes. For instance, its height in the 9th month of pregnancy is about 30 centimeters. It is placed at the extremity of the vagina, and it is normally inclined over the urinary bladder. During menstruation, it easily changes its position. Supple ligaments grant it a degree of flexibility and at the same time do not let it fall into the vagina. The fallopian tubes are on each side of the back of the uterus. The uterine muscle is coated with a mucosa named the endometrium. This mucosa, rich in blood vessels and glands, is the receiver of the ovule and suffers important modifications according to the time of the month and the age of each woman. When the ovule is not fertilized, this mucosa and the ovule are discharged. The base of the uterus is closed by the cervix, a tight and tough portion of approximately 3 centimeters. You may feel this place with your fingers in the back of the vagina. A fine channel traverses the middle of the cervix, and thus the uterus communicates with the vagina. Through this channel, the menstrual blood is discharged and the sperm passes through the uterus, heading for the tubes, the place of fertilization. The cervix has an opening in the middle, round-shaped in the case of women who have never had children, and a little larger and transversely stretched in the case of women who have given birth. The role of the uterus. The uterus is a fundamental element in almost all stages of the reproductive process, beginning with the ascension of the sperm through the vagina into the uterus, and continuing with the fetus and the forming of the placenta, up to the uterine contractions that push the baby outside. The fallopian tubes. They are two small, flexible tubes, approximately 10 to 12 centimeters long, whose internal diameter is a little bigger than that of a hair. They start at each end of the upper part of the uterus and end at the level of the ovaries, in an auricle with mobile fringes. The role of the tubes. The fallopian tubes collect the ovule with the fringes of the auricle. They also allow the sperm to pass to the place of fecundation and ensure the survival and the transport of the embryo towards the uterus. The ovaries are two glands the size of two large almonds, that is, 4 centimeters long and 2.5 centimeters wide. They are situated on the right and left side of the uterus, connecting it through a thin ligament. Another ligament connects them to the tubes. At birth, a female usually has a reserve of approximately 700,000 to 2 million ovules, most of which degenerate during childhood, reaching a total of about 300,000 to 400,000. Of all these, only 300,000 to 400,000 ovules reach maturity. This goes on for about 30 years. The fecundity rate of a woman, about 13 times a year, every 28 days. The others will degenerate over the years until menopause, when none are left. Consequently, the activity of the ovaries is not unlimited, as it starts at puberty and ends at menopause. The ovules are enclosed in a sort of cell conglomerate, which reaches maturity within a period due to the effect of the hormone secreted by the hypophysis. Their name is follicles. Once in 28 days, a mature follicle opens up and releases an ovule. We need to make a note here. The women practicing tantric love, as well as special yoga techniques, transmute their sexual potential energy. We're referencing here the ovules. And this is no longer wasted, but transmuted, and the energy resulting from its transmutation is sublimed to the upper centers of force. Such women will be beautiful, young-looking, and full of vitality, even at old ages. The role of the ovaries. The production of ovules, which are the reproductive feminine cells. They also secrete female sexual hormones, estrogen and progesterone, indispensable to the natural course of the period, pregnancy, and to the good function of the genitalia.
This is Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Valentino. Strengthen your sexual muscles. The ancient masters of lovemaking from India and China viewed the human body-mind mechanism as a bucket full of energy with holes in the bottom where life energy leaked out. These holes are the urethral opening and the anal opening, and in a woman, the vaginal opening also. It was believed that when the sexual muscles were strengthened through special exercises, they sealed the bottom of this bucket, and life no longer leaked out. The Eastern sexual exercises that we are about to present were developed in cultures that placed less emphasis on the genital orgasm. The development of sexual muscles represents a way to achieve, intensify and prolong, as well as control, the pleasure in both sexes, and also contributes to your growth as a human being. What kind of sexual muscle do you have to strengthen? Before you start sexual muscle squeezing, it is most important that you locate the exact muscle involved. The anatomical name of this muscle is the pubococcygeus muscle. It is called the PC muscle, for short. How do you find your PC muscle? It stretches between your legs from your genitals to your anus. It is part of the pelvic floor in both sexes. The standard way to find your PC muscle is to stop and then start again as you urinate. Do this several times. Women need to keep their legs open wide so that the muscles in the buttocks don't add confusing signals. Another way is to pretend that you are holding back a bowel movement and tighten your anal muscles. Or you can try a more direct approach. Insert a well-lubricated finger into the anus and squeeze. You will feel the anal muscles as well as the PC muscle. Women can gently place their index finger or middle finger into their vagina and squeeze. The vagina will grasp the finger quite firmly, and it may even push it out. The PC muscle itself can be felt in the vagina as a ripped muscle of about 1.5 inches in size. How do you strengthen your PC muscle? Once you get the hang of it, you can do squeezes while you're writing, reading, walking, sitting, working, or watching TV, even listening to music. You may even find that a tightening of the muscles in the stomach and thighs happens no matter what you do at first. This is a fairly common thing, but after the first few days, or maybe even weeks, when you have completely isolated the muscle, these extra contractions should be fairly hard to notice. Once you have definitely found the PC muscle, start exercising with quick or short squeezes. Contract the muscle 30 times at about 1 second intervals, or faster, as part of one session. You should do 2 sessions, even on your first day. Gradually build up the contractions until you reach 100, also twice a day. When you can comfortably do 100 quickie contractions twice a day, start adding sustained or longer movements to the mix. Long squeezes are simple. Instead of holding the muscle contraction for a count of 1, hold it for a count of 3 or more. Start with 30 of these per session and do 2 sessions a day. Build them up to 100 during each session, twice a day. Take your time and avoid straining. The PC muscle is just like any other muscle. If you overdo it, it will become sore. Focus on the contractions and concentrate on the physical sensations received. You may find this easier if you close your eyes. Learn to relax between contractions. Relaxation is just as important to do as is the contraction itself. If a man learns how to relax the sexual muscles during intercourse, he can prolong the lovemaking act as long as he wants. In other words, the man will control the sexual energy and he will be able to make love for hours without having an ejaculatory orgasm. Use the power of imagination. You can use precise mental images to guide the strengthening of your PC muscle. Mind, energy, and body are intimately connected, so use the power of your mind to help strengthen your sexual muscles. Women can imagine that their vagina is a tunnel made up of several muscular bands that can contract or expand at will. These circular bands of muscle are seen growing in size and strength with each contraction. Men can imagine that the PC muscle is a steel cable running between their legs, which they can tighten or loosen at will. The steel cable should be seen as growing thicker and stronger with each repetition. Use positive affirmation. Don't be surprised if the exercises stimulate erotic feelings while you are doing them. The contractions of the sexual muscles produce the growth of sexual energy. This is the reason for which these exercises have to be accompanied by other methods for sublimating the sexual energy. Otherwise, you will become irritated, nervous, and quite irascible. A simple method is to use positive affirmation during each contraction. With a quick PC muscle squeeze, say a short positive affirmation such as love or beauty. With a long PC muscle squeeze, you can say a longer affirmation such as love is my religion or wisdom is my guide. The benefits of the PC muscle exercises. It makes you get more in touch with your genitals and sexual feelings. It improves the blood flow to these areas, which can be quite healing in itself. It helps you make your orgasm voluntary. It eliminates rigidity. Expert status is achieved and maintained only by working out daily.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris.
The Pleasure Zones, Part 1. The human geography includes a series of pleasure zones unknown to many. These zones hide treasures of feeling and erotic experience, and they can be discovered by touching, kissing, nuzzling, licking, and nibbling them. Most people, both men and women, are not aware of the importance of the erogenous zones, and they're familiar only with the basics in this field: a woman's lips, breasts, and clitoris, and a man's lips and penis. However, an experienced and caring lover takes the time to discover and explore the most secret and mysterious pleasure points on his or her lover's body. Therefore, it is important that you consider your lover's body from a holistic point of view. Think of it as a complete organism, with its component parts equally worthy of attention and care. Sometimes a lover who proves nothing but a good reader of specialized textbooks can be disappointing, while a person that pays close attention to your needs and not to the textbook is more likely to impress. Many people, mostly men, are not aware of the fact that tactile sensations felt with the fingertips or with the skin in certain areas of the body are fundamental elements of an exceptional erotic experience. However, the knowledge of the erotic map of the body represents only one aspect in understanding and satisfying your lover's secret desires. You have to know that, regardless of the physical part of your lover's body that you stimulate, you must arouse his or her psyche as well. Each person has an individual erogenous map. Consequently, you may discover yours by kissing and touching your bodies from head to toe. Don't be afraid to ask your lover about favorite spots and about the most pleasant way of exploring them, so that you know exactly what kind of stimulation triggers the greatest sexual thrill. You may play touching games and recourse to sensual massage techniques in order to find out the most sensitive areas of your lover's body, as well as your own. As we mentioned before, men and women respond differently to erotic stimulation. It is a fact of common knowledge that women need more tenderness and are generally more sensitive to skin sensations than their male lovers. Some women may reach orgasm simply through the oral or tactile stimulation of their breasts, nipples, or mons. On the other hand, men's arousal is triggered by visual stimuli, and men are less likely to reach orgasm without direct physical penile contact. Some of the differences we mentioned are a result of cultural conditioning, women being encouraged to enjoy their sexuality, while men are taught to focus on the genital area only. Men who are open enough and willing to experience most often discover a whole new erotic universe when they feel, for the first time, a softer and more sensual approach to lovemaking. The Pleasure Zones, Part 2. These are the areas that both sexes find most pleasurable to touch. Head and face. Caress and kiss the forehead, the eyebrows, the eyelids, the nose, and the chin of your lover. Pass your fingers through the hair. Neck and shoulders. Nibble and kiss the back of the neck, on his sides and on the center. Go down through the shoulders in order to send electric shivers all through the body. Belly and navel. Softly rub your face against the belly. Kiss it tenderly and gently blow warm air on it. Then kiss it again tenderly and teasingly. Slide your tongue around all the lines you meet before going down to the pubic area. Perineum. This area is filled with nervous endings and sensitive hair follicles, which make it a gold mine of sexual arousal and sexual pleasure. Legs and thighs. Stroke the legs to awaken your lover's unknown sensuality, focusing on the inner part of the thighs, Caress this area with your fingertips, lips, or hair. In addition, the back of the knees is a highly and surprisingly sensitive area. Feet and toes. Massage the feet deeply to bring them to life. Then suck the toes. Roll your tongue over the webs of soft skin between the toes. Before passing on to the erogenous areas characteristic to men and to women, we want to make a few notes on the miracle of the skin. The skin is the largest sensory organ. It is also a highly erogenous organ. It is responsible for our sense of touch, and only the brain and the nervous system surpass its importance. In fact, during the development of a fetus in the mother's womb, the skin, the sense organs, and the central nervous system are formed from the same ectodermal tissue. In this way, the skin may be seen as a vast network of nerve endings which respond to all kinds of stimuli, ranging from pain to pleasure. These impulses are transmitted through the nervous system to the brain. Some areas of the skin, such as the breasts, nipples, lips, and genitals, are supplied with a high density of sensitive erogenous nerve endings, sending signals of sexual pleasure to the brain. As sexual arousal grows, the breath becomes deeper and the tissues are infused with oxygen, increasing the excitability of the nerves at the surface of the skin, so the body is more sensitive to touch. This process of tactile stimulation brings men and women to the peak of sexual pleasure and orgasm. Some of the methods to express your love are verbally, through words of love, praise, appreciation, a loving look in your eyes, patience and understanding of your lover's unique sexuality. Such expressions are as important as your knowledge of your lover's erogenous areas. Try to feel your lover as if he or she was you. Tune into his or her body as you learn how to play a fine musical instrument, paying attention to any single note you bring out. Exchange passionate kisses to light the flame of love. Trace your lover's lips with your tongue or your own lips. Kiss the lips gently, allowing the passion to build up to an almost unbearable limit before penetrating with your tongue. Explore his or her entire body with your entire body. The surprises are many. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of beatitude. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect. The state of beatitude.
Let us begin.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.